Welcome in to part four of our NBA future rankings on the Locked On Knicks podcast. If you don't get the concept by now, I can't help you. Our top seven teams next on Locked On Knicks.
You are Locked On Knicks, your daily New York Knicks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is all rebound, back up, off the glass, it's good!
What he does is contagious.
Robinson with a catch and slam across the lane. Knox foul from behind. Count it and one to Trier. Trier drives. Oh, oh,
becomes infectious.
You are Locked On Knicks, your daily New York Knicks podcast, part four of our NBA futures rankings. We finish up with our top seven teams, both squads from Los Angeles. The Boston Celtics, the Golden State Warriors, the Bucks, the Pelicans, still all yet to be ranked. So we go through all of those teams. Tomorrow, we will be back to our regularly scheduled programming with Alex Wolf joining me, along with Knicks Film School's czar, Jonathan Macri. So that should be a lot of fun. We're going to discuss goals for the Knicks offseason, going player by player to do that. That's going to be a series in and of itself. So some exciting stuff coming up on Locked On Knicks. But for now, enjoy the top seven teams with the best futures in the NBA on Locked On Knicks with Locked On Nets' Marcus Barahal.
All right, Marcus, I've talked enough. So I'm just going to throw, I think, two more tiers left. We have 7 through 4, and then a pretty clear top three, even though I had the third team at 5, about 10 minutes before this podcast. But pretty clear top three after thinking about it. I'll just let you go over these in any order you want. I have the Clippers at 7, the Lakers at 6, Boston at 5, Golden State at 4. How do you feel about that?
I feel mostly good. I think I would maybe switch Boston and Golden State, but I definitely agree. I think the Clippers, I think they'll win the title this year, so maybe that's an argument that they should be higher. But at the same time, I think they have the least long-term stability of that group of four, so maybe that's why you have them there. But then again, like the fact that I think they'll win the title this year means that those other three teams like have to win titles in the next like X amount of years to justify being ahead of them. And maybe that'll happen, maybe it won't. But for the Clippers, like George and Kawhi could very easily leave in a year and a half, and that would be a disaster. Or if they stay, like, those guys aren't super young. Like, I don't think that their window will last very long. So I think that them being at the bottom there makes sense. For the Lakers, LeBron is obviously still LeBron right now, but you can't expect it to go on forever. But at the same time, they have Anthony Davis, who is probably the best bet, or one of the best bets, I would say, to be, like, the best player of the 2020s. So they should be, like, still good and in contention for the next decade at least. Boston, they've got Tatum, they've got Brown, they've got multiple guys similar to what I've been saying kind of throughout this podcast. They've got two teams in one with that Kemba group also, that Kemba Hayward team, and then also like the Brown Tatum team. So they've kind of maintained that flexibility. I don't think that they will make the finals this year, maybe not next year, maybe not for the next couple of years because they've got Milwaukee in their conference also. So I think a lot of their fate is kind of tied to what other teams do. For Golden State, they still don't have like any young pieces right now unless you really believe in Wiggins. So I think that next year they will be in the contending picture. I think they'll kind of be in that like three seed kind of range. And I think that they'll definitely like put a scare into a lot of these teams up top. I don't know if I see them winning another title, though, is my only thing, which is why I might put them below at least Boston.
Yeah, my case for Golden State's actually the one out of these four I kind of feel the strongest about, even though, again, I had them behind Boston 10 minutes before the podcast. I kind of do think that next year they'll be a title contender, and maybe especially the year after that, just because I think there's very clearly another move to be made for them. You package Wiggins' contract, and I mean, it's possible they're faking it, but they seem like they genuinely like Wiggins and they like what he brings. And we've seen this show from Wiggins before where he's in a pseudo new situation in Minnesota. It was like when a new, front office would come in or a new coach would come in and he'd play well and then it would fade off. But in Golden State, like, I've been watching him last night. Like, he looked like he's playing hard, and he looks like, and they've talked about how surprised they were with his passing. Like, a guy who, even in Minnesota with limited weapons around him, averaged 5 assists per game. And granted, you have the ball in your hands as much as he does. Like, that's going to happen, even if you're not a great passer. But I think with, like, loaded, like, the two greatest shooters of all time, like, guys like Curry and Clay pairing with him, it sort of creates a runway for him to really leverage his athleticism in what I think could potentially be a really dangerous way and turn him into sort of a hyper-efficient third option. But then the alternate scenario, and maybe the even more appealing one for Golden State's long-term future, is he's a big contract that is maybe some teams would call an albatross, other teams would, especially if he rehabilitates himself in Golden State, would look at as an asset. You have what's going to be, as of now, a guaranteed top five pick in next year's draft. And then I think the pick that they got from the T-Wolves, I think people are underrating it, honestly. It's going to be I'd be shocked if it's not a top 10 to top 12 pick in a draft that's supposedly going to be significantly better than this one. So you combine those three assets, and there's a real world where I don't know if that gets you a Brad Beal-level guy, but something close to that. And obviously, like, here's the thing. Like, you scour the market right now. There's not an obvious case of, oh, that guy's available. But things change quickly in the NBA, and there's a world where Chris Middleton is all, like, Giannis wants to leave, and all of a sudden Milwaukee's like, okay, let's just go all youth, and Golden State ends up with Chris Middleton. Again, not that exactly, but something like that could happen, and I think they have a lot of different avenues to either acquire a fourth star or build a really great infrastructure around Steph and Clay. Between Draymond, Wiggins, the pick this year, the pick next year, and they've gotten a full year to do essentially what Philly did and just mine the NBA for uncut gems, for lack of a better term. And someone like Damian Lee, who had a great game against Toronto last night before blowing it down the stretch a little bit, that's potentially an asset in the playoffs next season. So I just think they have the most complete future of any of these teams. The Clippers, I think you make a good – Joe, sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
On the Warriors, I'm gonna pull Joel Embiid and do a 180 real quick. I completely forgot about the picks. That's a great call. They've got their own pick and the Minnesota pick either next year or the year after. Those are two great assets, and I mentioned that I didn't think that they had any young guys. They've got two potentially if they draft well. So,
yeah.
Yes, they should be the top of this group.
Okay, that was very big of you. and then the rest I think is pretty, I think the only reason, just to clarify, I have the Clippers at 7 is, like, I just think the potential for Kawhi or Paul George to suffer, like, a semi-catastrophic injury is there. Like, Kawhi's sort of been, it's weird because you can also argue he's the best player in basketball, but I think at the same time it's almost kind of been on life support the last two seasons in terms of, like, not that he is fragile, but how teams have to sort of treat him that way, and I don't know how degenerative his leg condition is and if it's going to get a lot worse, but I just think there's a world where him and George, or just even if it's only one of those two guys, aren't the same dude going forward, and they put all their eggs in that basket, and maybe someone else would look at the team and say, hey, that's not true. Like, they built this great roster. Look how good they are defensively across the board. They have, like you talk about, two teams. They have this whole bench unit, again, in a different way, not in terms of age, but just in terms of style, with Lou Will and Montrezl Harrell that they can pivot to. Like, there's so many different options there, but all those guys outside of Harrell, who I think is sort of hit a ceiling a little bit, are on the older end, and I don't think can... It's not like a situation where, like Boston, where if someone like Hayward falters, you can say, all right, Jaylen Brown, we need you to do a little bit more. Hey, Tatum, we need you to keep playing like an MVP. I just don't think they have the pivot that those other teams do. And for the Lakers, I just think Anthony Davis is the surest bet to be good for a long time out of the four stars on those two teams. And honestly, I would sort of bank on LeBron's health, even though he's like 4 or 5 years older, maybe even more so than Kawhi. And, like, clearly he's going to fall off faster in 2 years. Like, you'd be surprised if Kawhi isn't the better player. But I just think there's less potential for something really awful to happen to LeBron than Kawhi. And maybe that's misguided because LeBron has played the most significant minutes total of any player in NBA history. What he's doing is totally unprecedented. We don't really have a track record for a guy being this good for this long. But I still maybe it's wrong, but I kind of believe in him and the Lakers because of it more than the Clippers.
Yeah, he's shown us no reason to doubt him or his health, whereas Kawhi and George especially, who's had, like, a lot of different types of injuries, they've both been kind of banged up.
Guys, if you're anything like me, one of the biggest treats in life is getting the opportunity to eat out, especially in New York City, where there's such a diversity of food options, getting to experience different cuisines from different places and genuinely have access to some of the best food from all around the world. Unfortunately, with the coronavirus, most of us, if you're practicing social distancing, and you should be, are not able to leave their house very often. Certainly not enough to go get food. So what do? You download Postmates. Postmates doesn't just deliver an impossible burger or sushi. They actually make life easier with grocery delivery and whatever you can think of delivery to. Convenience stores, clothing stores, you name it. They're essentially the perfect app for the coronavirus era. You don't have to take trips to the store. You don't have to make a late night food run. You don't even really have to worry about spending hours of your precious work from home day making lunch. All you have to do is download Postmates on iOS or Android, find your favorites, and get anything you want delivered within an hour. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for the first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use code LOCKEDONNBA. That's code LOCKEDONNBA for $100 of free delivery credit with no minimum purchase for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmates it.
Yeah. All right, top three, and again, I'll just sort of we had a spirited debate in this in our group chat about Milwaukee being higher. I initially had Milwaukee at five, and I think a friend of the show, Jeremy Kaplett, whose research I'll reference in a little bit if he's listening, would have maybe put them at one. But I have Milwaukee three, I have Dallas two, and I have New Orleans at one. I'll send it to you. What do you make of that?
I don't remember if I said this in the chat specifically, but I think Milwaukee should be number one. Just the fact that – so those three teams, basically, they're buoyed by Milwaukee. You've got Giannis and, like, a bunch of guys who fit around him really well. Dallas, you've got Luka and then, to a lesser extent, KP. New Orleans is Zion. And then you've also got guys like Brandon Ingram, Lonzo, Josh Hart, like a good young group besides just Zion. So – I believe in Giannis more so than anyone on those other teams just because, A, he's shown it. He's won an MVP award. Physically, he's never had any kind of, like, injury issue. He's never missed time or missed games or anything like that. And also, the Bucks have kept him on a really low minutes total. They've allowed him to sit a lot of fourth quarters, that kind of thing. So it's not like he's playing a ton despite the fact that they're winning a ton. He's actually, like, he's resting. He's saving himself for the playoffs, that kind of thing. And then for Dallas, like, Luka has had an ankle thing twice, and he's not the same two-way player that Giannis is, and he will never be the same two-way player that Giannis is. He can probably and arguably already has become a better offensive player, or at least a more versatile one. But in terms of defensively, I would much rather have Giannis. KP obviously has injury issues, and Zion has a ton of injury issues, and there's questions, in my mind still at least, about his offensive game. I think it's still pretty one-dimensional, and it's an incredible dimension. Like, he's the most physically imposing player in the league, like, since prime LeBron, probably. But I don't know that I trust it in the playoffs, just because it seems like his move a lot of times is just, like, pounded into the ground, back in, and just, like, go over the top of someone. Then if he misses, just jump over them and get the offensive rebound and put it back in. And I know that teams are, like, already sending double teams at him. Like, he's not being defended, like, lackadaisically or anything like that. But the fact that they didn't win anything without him and even with him are kind of like a 500 team. And I know he's just a rookie, but the injury concerns, the lack of the fact that he hasn't, like, shown it to me to the level that a guy like Luka has, I might even put – no, I think I would put New Orleans second, actually, ahead of Dallas. So just because of the depth of their – talent, and I do believe in Ingram. If they're able to re-sign him, though, that would kind of limit what they can do going forward. I just think that Giannis, the only question is if he stays in Milwaukee, but beyond that, they have him, they have kind of the perfect team around him. Like, there is almost no doubt that they will be in the finals this year and for, like, the next couple years in the conversation for that.
Yeah, I mean, and that's my whole argument. Like, if Giannis signed a five-year contract tomorrow, they'd be two, maybe one. Probably they would be one. Because I think people underrate what they're doing. They're legitimately one of the five greatest regular season teams in NBA history. And the scary thing again is that they're doing it without pushing their stars. Like, even Golden State, with how loaded they were, like, their stars had to, like, really strain themselves throughout the regular season to get to 73. And granted, I don't think Milwaukee would probably finish around 67 or 68, in terms of wins. But they're dealing with Giannis playing 30 minutes a night. Chris Middleton in and out of the lineup playing 32. Without Giannis, like this generational guy on the floor, they're plus six. So clearly they have this infrastructure that works beyond Giannis. They have a brilliant coach in terms of Mike Budenholzer. But my two big concerns with them are far and away the biggest is that Giannis could potentially leave. Marcus, I know this would sway you if you had heard it, so I was waiting until now to tell you. Stephen A. Smith, the credible NBA reporter, said on his program today that he's hearing that Giannis could leave if the Bucks don't make the finals, or that he's gone if they don't make the finals. And he said after, quote, "I'm not sure if that's true, but it's what I'm hearing." So Stephen A. Smith, as you know, occasionally makes appearances in my apartment building, so I'm prone to trusting him. That's a real thing. You can slide into my DMs if you have questions. But yeah, that's number one. And two, I think Milwaukee with Mike Budenholzer is ahead of the curve stylistically in the NBA. It's sort of like what we saw from Tom Thibodeau in the late 2000s defensively. Sort of what we've seen from the Houston Rockets in terms of shooting a lot of threes, where I think Milwaukee in terms of how they play defense, like really packing the paint and having high level athletes who can fly around and still get decent contests on threes. But that's really the one thing they give up, and they don't give up anything inside. It's led to them having the best defense in basketball. And granted, like not everyone can replicate. No one can replicate Giannis, and there aren't that many rim protectors on the level of the Lopi. So that's certainly, there are unique elements to what Milwaukee does, but I think you can recreate it, and I think the advantage they have over the rest of the league in that capacity should diminish over time. That's a very small thing, but we're on to the top three, so I'm picking nits a little bit. Dallas, as I point out in our group chat and was thoroughly rebutted on, greatest offense in NBA history in terms of offensive rating, and they're doing that led by a post-tween in Luka Doncic, who just turned 21 years old. I think that's incredible, and the fact that they've I think their front office is operating at one of the higher levels in the NBA, that out of the bargain bin, they've sort of built this perfect team around Luka. Like someone like Seth Curry is looking like one of the better role players in the NBA. Dwight Powell was in that conversation before he got hurt. Maxi Kleba's really good on and off. And they just have all these pieces that just make a lot of sense around their two guys. And KP, I was arguing this on Locked On Knicks, even when he wasn't playing well, he's such a perfect piece around Giannis because he can protect the rim on defense, and you have to guard him on the perimeter on offense, even when he's not hot. And as he continues to get healthier, we're seeing flashes of the guy he was in New York. And look, he's the ultimate injury red flag, even more so than someone like Embiid. He's never, ever finished a season. And we're going to find out in the next month or so going into the playoffs whether he can do that for the first time around this time. But I just think they have maybe a top 15 player down the road in NBA history. I believe Luka's that good, and the perfect team around him, and they're all pretty young, and they have a top 5 or 6 coach, and that pushes them ahead of Milwaukee, just given the uncertainty around Giannis in my mind. And then New Orleans, it's just about the depth of talent. Like I think Brandon Ingram, like you can people flip out over Jason Tatum, and granted, it's probably because his defensive upside is higher, but Ingram is, I believe, a year younger. Is he a year older? He's a year younger, right, than Tatum? Maybe we'll get back to you on that. He could be that type of guy. Like I could see him efficiently averaging 27 or 28 points per game 2 years from now. And you pair that around Zion, who, I mean, I heard what you just said and I sort of agree with it, but I kind of think he's just, if he stays healthy, he's going to be unstoppable. He is kind of young Shaq. And to me, the crazy thing with him and what a lot of people underrate is it's not just his overwhelming athletic ability. His touch around the rim is just, it's crazy. Like, I don't remember another young big having that kind of finishing ability. And it's a combination that because of his athleticism, he can get a shot off at any time. And at these weird angles, it just falls in softly off the backboard. And it means that there's no way to really stop him. Like, what was it, 10 games in a row where he scored 20 straight points? Like, I just think he's going to be one of the most consistent offensive producers in modern NBA history. And you have those two, and you have such a variety of pieces. Plus, I think people forget they still have 4 more first-round picks coming from the Lakers. So there's just such a potential to upgrade at whatever spot they need, whether you want to attach those picks to Ingram or Drew Holiday. Like, they have, as much as in Oklahoma City, the assets to make a trade for the next available star in the NBA. So that is something I'm taking into account as well. And that's my explanation on my top three. But I hear you. Again, if Giannis signed a 5-year contract, I'd be totally cool putting Milwaukee at 1.
Yeah, I think New Orleans, it's just like, I still haven't like seen it fully. Like even with Dallas, like they're going to make the playoffs this year. New Orleans looking more and more like they might not make the playoffs this season. So I would kind of want to see that for me to put them at number one already. But they definitely, like you mentioned, they have a ton of assets. They've got all those picks and they have all the young guys. Like, they definitely are in a great spot. I'm not arguing that for sure.
All right. That's a good lukewarm place to wrap this podcast up. Marcus, I appreciate you sitting through this odyssey with me. We're going to go play basketball. Hopefully everyone stay safe out there, and we will be back